billion tickets or more is expected before tonight's drawing. President Obama will meet with the heads of several large corporations at the White House today. One key topic is likely to be the looming fiscal cliff. Several female Marines and soldiers gathered in San Francisco to announce a lawsuit. They're challenging the military's policy of excluding women from many combat positions. This is NBC News Radio. UN Ambassador Susan Rice met with three Senate Republicans critical of the ambassador's initial remarks following the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi. NBC's Brian Moore reports she wasn't alone.
Rice was accompanied by acting CIA Director Michael Morrell, who helped explain the flawed talking points Rice repeated in talk show appearances. In a statement, Rice said, "While we certainly wish that we had perfect information just days after the terrorist attack, as is often the case, the intelligence assessment has evolved."
GOP Senators John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and Kelly Ayotte now say they are more troubled than ever about Rice's initial explanation. The Army private at the center of the WikiLeaks scandal returns to court today in Maryland. Bradley Manning's name is on the witness list, but it's unclear if he'll be called to the stand. And China is thinking of easing its one-child policy. The proposal comes in the face of a rapidly aging society. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the Internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer code BACKUP.
The value of China's currency, the yuan, is too low, and China's government has substantially reduced its market interventions to manage its currency's value. All that comes from the U.S. Treasury Department, which is using words such as significantly undervalued to describe China's money. But in the interest of preserving diplomatic relations and not causing an across-the-ocean shouting match, Treasury once again is refusing to call China a currency manipulator. CNN, the trailblazer of the 24-hour news business these days, is a consistent also-ran to Fox and MSNBC. Just before departing, the former president of CNN declared the network needs new thinking. That new thinking may come from Jeff Zucker. Reports say the former boss of NBC Universal has emerged as a front-runner for CNN's top job. Zucker left NBC when Comcast took it over almost 2 years ago. Asian and European stock markets have been moving lower today. We could move lower as well. S&P futures down 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Attention homeowners, if your home has lost value and you now owe more than your home is worth, Please listen carefully to this very important message. If you purchased a home or refinanced your loan before June of 2009, Quicken Loans may now be able to help you refinance at today's incredibly low interest rates, even if you owe more than your home is worth. This is Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I want to let you know that on September 14th of this year, the government announced changes that may allow you to refinance even if your home has lost value. So if your current mortgage is higher than 3.99%, please call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN. Even if you owe more than your home is worth, you may now be able to refinance at today's incredibly low rates. Again, if you've been unable to refinance because you owe more than your home is worth and your rate is above 3.99%, call 800-QUICKEN now and let us help you take advantage of this unique opportunity.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
As the clock chimes a reminder that it's time to punch in for another shift, those of us who have worked tirelessly to honor our contracts and the promise they represent have also been paying attention to the many promises that have been ignored by the politicians.
Now as we mark the time for change,
it is you and I who will confidently send the message that since it is only us who have upheld their promises, that 2012 marks the time for change. And change begins with First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, the 28th day of November 2012. I hope you are doing well on this very early midday our midweek program. It's interesting. Those of us that get up this early every day, and of course I get up very, very early so I can actually be awake when I talk to you. But for those of us that get up this early, what am I doing wrong that I can't sleep on the weekend? Is it just habit at this point? Or is it still the dog that won't let me sleep? One or the other. There's something interesting about getting up this early. I really feel like one day this weekend, over the holiday, I actually slept till 7 a.m. It doesn't matter. I didn't go to bed till 1 a.m., but I actually slept till 7 a.m. and I woke up and I felt guilty. Man, do I need therapy, right? Anyway, we've got a great, great show lined up for you today. I want to thank the handful of people that emailed me after the show yesterday with my ongoing four-hour lecture of getting engaged and involved. I warned y'all before the election that the real work began on November 7th. I'm just not sure you're all getting the message, but it's nice to know some of you did and some of you didn't. Some of you weren't afraid of what I had to say yesterday. Yeah, a couple of you got a little randy with me, if you will, but I don't care. I'm not apologizing. It's time to get busy, and today's show will underscore that in a big way. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to take a look at the right to work for less fight from two very different but similar perspectives. What do I mean by that? Well, Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL, CIO will be here. She, of course, represents an amalgamation of very important unions all over the state. She's going to talk about why right to work for less would be wrong for Michigan, what we need to do to engage in that fight to make sure it doesn't happen. In the second half hour of the 7 o'clock hour, Fran Brennan, the Michigan State Director for Working America, will join us. Working America, if you'll recall, represents non-union folks. What are they doing to help fight this fight? Well, we'll get to that as well. Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press, joins us at 8 o'clock. As always, we're going to talk about the news yesterday about a regional transit authority and a handful of other issues. Lori Lamoran from Planned Parenthood joins us at 8:35. We're going to take a look at a new study that was done, and I think that you're going to find it both eye-opening and quite enlightening. Dr. David Fike joins us at 9 o'clock. He's the president of Marygrove College. They have a new program. They're investing in their future and in their students, more specifically their non-traditional students, the Pell Grant. Yes, it has limitations. I learned a lot from the story we're going to highlight this morning and look forward to sharing that with you. Linda Teeter joins us. She's the president of the Michigan Citizens Action, And there's a day of action asking Congress to do something quite specifically, asking them questions, more importantly, holding their feet to the fire and asking them to actually answer some of those questions. God forbid. All right, let's get this thing underway.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is logic, and I needed to go to Merriam-Webster's dictionary. I want to share with you a couple definitions. I love the way that the dictionary people write this stuff. Definition of logic, A1, a science that deals with the principles and criteria of validity of inference and demonstration. The science of the former principles of reasoning. 2, a branch or variety of logic. 3, a branch of semantics, especially syntactics. And 4, the formal principles of a branch of knowledge. If anybody can decipher that for me, please feel free. We go on. A particular mode of reasoning viewed as valid or faulty. I found that definition quite interesting. Interrelation or sweet sequence of facts or events which seem as inevitable or predictable. That was my favorite one. The arrangement of circuit elements as in a computer needed for computation. And last but not least, something that forces a decision apart from or in opposition to reason. Okay, interesting. But for our purposes today, we're going to throw all those out the window. Now, we all often say, well, there's no logic to that. Well, that would be reason. What's the logic behind that? Because we're in search of a reason. You know, the reality is logic, I think, is somewhat in the eye of the beholder if we stop and think about it. What I find logical, you may not. What you find logical, I may not. That's clearly true in the political arena. We have more than two political parties in this country. We have people that advocate in the Green Party, in the Working People's Party, in the Communist Party, and I could go on and on and on. There are more than two political parties and two political philosophies. Certainly, as we take a look at the conservative versus the liberal, there are a lot of things that each side finds logical that the other finds absolutely insane. Does that make it any less logical? Well, to you it does, and to me it does, but to them, well, it does not. That brings up a good point. When you say to somebody you're not being logical, is it maybe you the one that aren't being logical? It's just a question. Well, we're throwing it out there. Well, listen, I don't know that we're going to solve anything this morning, but logic is today's first word.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And it's Red Wings.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
And yes, we do. Well, I don't know if today we do. Let us say good morning and welcome Anthony back to the sports segment. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning.
Okay, well, what would you like to talk about?
Michigan game.
Oh, okay. Which Michigan game?
The basketball game last night.
Oh, okay.
The Big Ten ACC Challenge.
And how did that go?
We started off very strong against the 18th ranked North Carolina State team, and we ended up winning by, I believe, 7 points. I didn't have cable yet, so I didn't watch the game, but we hit a solid lead throughout the game. We got out to a 10-point lead early and pretty much maintained it.
Actually, maybe the real story today is you're getting cable today, right?
I am.
So that is the real story today. I know how much you love your sports center and the NFL channel and all that stuff. You must be going crazy.
Oh, I'm more than ready to get out of here to go wait for the cable guy.
What time? What's the window?
Noon and 2.
Noon and 2. All right. Well, you know, they do have guarantees on that stuff now, so you should be good to go. And it's just a matter of turning it on, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, they just got to install the boxes and all that.
Yeah, okay, good for you. Well, anyway, you know, I'm glad to hear Michigan's doing. What are they ranked? Are they still ranked at five?
Three.
Three now. Okay, very good. I know that Indiana won yesterday. They are ranked number one in the country. Well, good. It's interesting to see what John Beilein has done with the Wolverines. Of course, they had many successful years, and then, well, a whole lot of non-successful years. You know, I really liked Tommy Amaker. It's a shame he didn't do better here.
Yeah, he really did have some really bad seasons, but it was tough recruiting for him at first because we were still under the suspension from the NCAA.
The Fab Five. Well, anyway, that's really it. I mean, there's really nothing going on. We could talk rumors. We could start a few rumors if you'd like.
Okay.
I'm just saying, there's really not a whole lot going on. I know Roger Goodell talked yesterday about Ndamukong Suh, and he talked a little bit about Javid Best. Javid Best, by the way, is still holding on hope that he'll be back next year.
Me too. I mean, I really hope he comes back because he is a. I don't know if it would have helped us that much this year, but he's definitely a game changer when he is out there.
Yeah, well, you've got to. I mean, he's had this problem since, and we're talking about concussions now. He's had this problem since college, and you really got to wonder, even if he comes back, how long before it happens again? I don't know that, you know, I don't know that he can, I just don't know if he can safely come back.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the health concern is an issue, but I mean, if he does get cleared to play, you know, it's always the risk that you have going out there.
Well, the one thing we don't know is why he wasn't cleared to play. What test is he not passing? Why is it that they still feel that he is at risk? We don't know the answer to that, and that's medical information, and they don't normally release that information unless he wants to do that, and apparently he does not want to do that, and that's his right. But you've got to wonder what test, what doesn't he pass? I mean, he hasn't played for a year and he's still not cleared to play. That would concern me. Even, listen, I know the guy loves the game. I realize that this is his life at this point. But I just, you know, it kind of goes back to my thoughts on Zach Follett. You know, he had to make a tough decision and he made the right one. I don't know that Javid Best is necessarily best served.
Was that a concussion or a back? Was that a spine thing or neck?
That was his neck spine thing, but it was the right decision because all it takes is one hit, right? And then it's over. So anyway, we've got to get to a break. Let's do that now. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. A quick break here. A lot to get to after this. Good morning to you. Give us a call. We'll be back right after this. Tony Trupiano wanting to wish all of you the happiest and most joyous of holiday season. Whether you celebrate the Christmas holiday or just celebrate the time of year, know that we here at First Shift care about you and wish you the very best.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, we picked up a new accident in Troy. It's on 75 northbound just before 14 mile, and that's blocking your right shoulder. And still watching that overturned vehicle that's blocking your right lane on 75 northbound at Sashabon. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Well, the state legislature back in session yesterday. Some stuff moving forward, some stuff yet to be uttered. Yet other things were shelved. One of the things, actually a few of the things that were shelved yesterday, was this fetal tax credit will not be considered in the lame duck session. Now, we don't really have a reason behind that, but we do know that it was shelved. In fact, we had originally scheduled something for today on that, but we ended up canceling it when they took it off the table. Dave Ajima's Sharia law bill was also shelved, much to his chagrin. Of course, Sharia law is such a huge threat here in the state of Michigan that I can see why he would be upset about it. You really do need to wonder about legislative priorities. You know, it's interesting because we continue to take a look at what the legislature is doing, and I need to underscore, not that you don't all know this, the Republican-controlled legislature. We are looking at literally a stack of potential bills that absolutely do nothing to create a more business-friendly atmosphere. They do absolutely nothing to create a single job. There's a great talk about revising the personal property tax, and I got to tell you, I had to take real issue today in the Detroit Free Press as their headline on the PPT, and I don't remember it off the top of my head, and they've moved it since I first saw it this morning, but it was something about, you know, the hated personal property tax on its way to reform. Well, it wasn't hated by everyone, and the reform efforts that the lieutenant governor announced yesterday were met with mixed results, although there were a few Democrats that support the reforms. By and large, this is going to be a long battle. It has to be voted on, by the way, of the public because of the Hetley Amendment, so it may not even pass once it makes its way through the legislature and it's agreed to put it on the ballot, which would actually come in 2014. So that is a ways off anyway. And the way that I read it, it would take 10 years to fully implement. They're able to replace, according to their proposal, 90% of the income or the revenue that's raised through the personal property tax. Again, this is supposed to be something that helps to create an atmosphere that will invite more businesses to move here to the state of Michigan and ergo hire more people. But if we're talking about something that doesn't even get voted on in for a year and a half, 2 years, and then once it's voted on, it isn't implemented up till 10 years from now, fully implemented, what are we accomplishing by this? It just seems to me that we're, you know, going back to our first word, logic, there seems to be no logic to this philosophy. And you do have to wonder and really pay attention to what the lame duck legislature is doing here in the state of Michigan over the next few weeks, because it makes no sense. So much of what is happening right now is based on opportunism. What I mean by that is they know that there are some retiring and some term-limited members of the state legislature that want their legacy fulfilled. They want to make sure their name's on legislation so that when they walk away, they have their badge of courage. Well, that's all well and good, and I understand that. Listen, politics is about egos at the end of the day, and I get that too. It's not necessarily even a bad thing. Sometimes the best things are done in the name of ego. I swear to God, I get that. What I don't get is, when are we going to start helping people like you and I that are still struggling to get by, people that still don't have jobs, people that still don't understand where they turn, people whose benefits have been cut? What do we do about the seniors whose pensions are being taxed and how it has affected them in so many profound ways? Now, what do we do about all this stuff? When did we start to turn it around? And listen, I don't mean to be a pessimist, but let's be honest about it. The Republicans still hold the majority at 59-51. What we do moving forward is going to be critical to growing the economy, to growing the workforce here in the state of Michigan. We can't just rely on the manufacturing sector to continue to add jobs, although they're doing a great job of it. The reason that's working so well, it's because the unions created the right environment by renegotiating contracts and giving businesses a chance to breathe, to grow, and be profitable. And we see that's working. But what about new business? What about new technologies? What about alternative energy? Look what we did to the movie industry, which was beginning to profoundly blossom. It just seems like every time we get that much closer to advancing something, the Republicans pull it back as if it's some kind of evil joke. And I just don't get that. Again, watch the legislative agenda moving forward, and you will see that it is not kind to the middle class. It's not kind to working families. It's certainly not kind to Democrats. It just makes no sense. Going back to our first word, logic, where's the logic in what we do? Or because it's politics, is there no logic? Or going back to what I said during my logic monologue, is it just a matter of perspective? If you're on one side, you see something as logical and the other side sees it as illogical? That could be. But again, you know, that's driven by ego as well. I don't know how we take that out of the equation. I don't know that we can take that out of the equation. But this is what I do know. We are currently not doing anything to help our fellow man or woman. In fact, we're doing more to harm women than we ever have. You know, we can only go back so many decades before it becomes ridiculous that we throw up our hands. I mean, one of my concerns is that people are just going to give up. And maybe the Republicans are kind of holding steadfast on that. That if they throw enough stuff at us and we lose, that we're just finally going to go, you know what, the hell with it. We can't stop it. Let them go. Well, of course, we can't afford to let that happen, and we won't let that happen. But it does get daunting, and it certainly gets frustrating. Last week, I just want to go back to last week, when I read about this fetal tax credit. I can't begin to tell you my reaction to it. It was literally multi-layered. I thought it was funny and sick. and lots of other things in between. I couldn't believe that somebody conceived such a ridiculous idea after this same legislature took away the earned income tax credit, took away the tax credit for living, breathing children in our home. Again, where's the logic in that? I think even Republicans would have to say there is none. We need to pay attention, folks, and we need to stay engaged. But you got to pay attention to what's going on. That is what's critical here. All right, when we come back, we'd love to take your calls, of course. We've got some audio to get to. I've got a couple stories I want to share with you. But let me give you the number, and let's get this going. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. A quick break here on 1310 WDTW. We continue right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
We're still watching those two accidents on 75 northbound just before 14 mile. It's blocking your right shoulder. And on 75 northbound at Sashabaugh, we have that overturned vehicle blocking the right lane. Now 75 both directions between West Road and Sibley Road, reduced down to two lanes for construction. And on 75 southbound between 7 mile and 9 mile, coming up at 9 a.m., left lane is going to be closed for some work. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hoo boy! The startling revelation that American Airlines has had some of its passenger seats come loose during flights gives new meaning to the phrase, flying by the seat of your pants. But that's what the top bosses of this once-proud airline have been doing for months as they continue to downsize its skilled workforce, outsource essential jobs, and generally demoralize the people who make an airline successful. Having plunged the corporation into bankruptcy last year, the geniuses in America's executive suite decided that the way to fix the airline's financial mess and restore public confidence in its service was to force more cuts on the employees who provide the services. Thus, in February, it was decreed that maintenance crews in Fort Worth and Tulsa would be slashed and more than a third of their jobs would be outsourced. Tom Horton, American's genius in chief, blithely declared that airplanes, quote, can be maintained in Asia or Latin America, anywhere. True, but not necessarily well maintained. In September, when the seats started coming loose, the brass callously drove company morale further down by implying that Americans' maintenance crews, who are members of the Transport Workers Union, were the culprits. But TWU fired right back, pointing out that maintenance of two lines of 757s, including seats, had been outsourced to a non-union, low-wage corporation where employees don't get expert union training or regular on-site reviews by federal safety inspectors. This is Jim Hightower saying, as a frequent flyer on American, I have a personal interest in this fight. I want CEO Horton to come to his senses and recognize that he can't climb out of bankruptcy by stepping on the line employees he has to count on to make the flying experience pleasant and safe. Cut the corporate hierarchy, Mr. Horton, not the people we customers actually trust to deliver a good product.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock on this early Wednesday morning, I am Tony Trupiano. A pleasure to be with you this and every morning. Feel free to join us. Again, the number 888-552-3595. Let's start with some local news. We know that Mayor Dave Bing had asked for a special session of the city council, and he was denied that access originally, but then given it. And then when they showed up, the mayor wasn't there, and because they didn't give proper notice, the meeting had to be canceled. So there was also a scuffle in the council chambers, blah, 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 blah. It's a mess. Charles Pugh, though, says Monday's canceled emergency meeting was properly noticed, and the mayor just screwed up. Let's listen to what he had to say from WDIV Channel 4.
There is a little bit of hope here because we're hearing from City Hall that next Tuesday at 10 a.m. is when there may be another meeting, whether emergency, special, or whatever you call it, because they are in recess for the holidays, that they will try and retake all of these issues that came up yesterday. But the City Council, and then the City Council President Charles Pugh, had some issues today with the mayor's reasoning for having to have this Miller Canfield contract, essentially saying that if they got another law firm, that it would take too long for another firm to catch up. Here's what he had to say.
That's bullshit. It is. This is not hieroglyphics. It's common sense what we need to do. So to use that argument that they got to get up to speed on somehow, this is not rocket science. It's government.
City Council President Charles Pugh pulling no punches today, looking back on yesterday's botched emergency City Council meeting where he had to order an unruly member of the crowd tossed, and the mayor, who called the emergency meeting, never showed up. He's frustrated the mayor would tie his having his own separate legal counsel, Miller Canfield, in place of City Attorney Crystal Crittenden, to whether the city gets to use its own money to stave off insolvency. Yet he openly admits 24 hours later that the mayor actually did properly hang this notice last Wednesday, even though city offices were closed for the holiday, and that Crittenden's law department gave him bogus advice that led to the cancellation.
I think that was a major screw-up yesterday.
Was the law department at fault?
Well, you know, I don't want to point any fingers, but we know who was responsible for making sure that that meeting was properly noticed. And the reality is, you know, I think it was.
So now what? Pugh says yesterday's disaster brings the city no closer to solving the steady march toward real trouble.
Even if the meeting was proper, the mayor still did not have the 5 votes. He still was not going to get that Miller Canfield contract passed, and that was irresponsible on his part because he wasn't calling around. He wasn't getting his votes.
So the mayor's office is saying yesterday is a classic example of why it needs its own legal counsel, because Crystal Crittenden's law office is not reliable. And so now they have to try and come up with the votes, but this is going to get tricky. The mayor's out of town, apparently with a sick family member. You've got 3 members of council, Brown, Spivey, and Sontiel Jenkins, all in Boston on a special convention having to do with cities. And so there's a lot of work to do, and there aren't a lot of people in town to talk to. So this is going to get interesting. Next Tuesday at 10.
It's not going to get interesting. It's ridiculous. They should be embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed. Somebody needs to show some leadership. And Charles Pugh, clean up your language. Let's go to the phones again, 888-552-3595. Shelley joins us this morning. Good morning, Shelley, and happy holidays to you.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Listen to Shelley Weisberg, and I was listening to your comments on the fetal tax credit bill, and I just thought it was interesting that Doug Gilbert, when he took it off the agenda, his reasoning was that it was too controversial, which is, you know, as you know, something we never hear from them when they take these things off the agenda. So I wanted to kind of give some kudos to all of you who are letting the legislature know that they need to stop screwing around with women's issues and reproductive issues and ridiculous issues like fetal tax credit.
You know, Shelley, I often wonder if our calls and letters do make a difference. And I think in this case, they actually did.
Oh, I think so. I think that they're hearing this message loud and clear. Because the other really big anti-choice or anti-abortion bill, which is kind of commonly known as 5711, I know Planned Parenthood has talked about it on your show. You know, we're seeing that kind of get, you know, battered around a little bit, and we're not sure if that's going to come up. So, and I think that's a result of all of the calls and messages from people telling the legislature to leave this stuff alone.
Now, so. Shelley, and I'm going to say this again. I said it yesterday, just a little earlier this morning. The real work began on November 7th, and if people think that we can just sit back and claim some kind of victory because progressives around the country, you know, stuck their flag in the ground and, you know, or whatever, they're thinking they won. They've not won anything but an opportunity to continue to fight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got, I mean, I think we got a little complacent last time around, and I think the work is, you know, cut out for us now. So
no question.
I feel good about it.
I do too.
I feel good about it, I have to tell you.
I do too, and I'm glad that people are empowered, and I'm glad they're speaking up, and I just want to warn them. It's that intensity that will carry us to where we need to go. Shelley, thanks so much for your call this morning. All right, 888-552-3595. By the way, Shelley's with the ACLU, just for those of you that didn't know. Tom in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, my friend, and Merry Christmas to you.
And Merry Christmas to you as well in the listening audience. You know, Tony, I was sitting there yesterday watching MSN, and they showed this bite. I don't know if it was from one of the Sunday shows or what have you. But, you know, Mr. Eric Smirked Cantor was sitting there, and they asked him about the president and, you know, and this fiscal cliff. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, well, you know, if the president's really serious, he'll come in and he'll put the Obamacare on the table. And I'm going like, this guy is out of his mind. I mean, it's the law of the land. You know, people said that they want it in the whole nine yards. And now you're talking about, you know, negotiating about, you know, Obamacare. I mean, come on.
You know, Tom, I thought about this a lot yesterday. I don't know why, so it's kind of coincidental you called on this. But, you know, I believe, and this is the way I'm going to start dialoguing about Obamacare. The next time somebody says to me that Obamacare is costly, that Obamacare is whatever they think it is, I'm going to remind them that Obamacare saves lives, and why are they against saving lives?
Exactly. I mean, you know, these folks out here yelling about, you know, they're pro-life. I mean, pro-life, you know, I'm talking about at conception, but I mean, hey, life grows up, okay? And a lot of folks who are going to be the beneficiaries of the Obamacare, you know, they are going to be the ones who have been using the emergency room as their primary care physician. Now they won't have to do this. They'll be able to, have preventative medicine instead of waiting until the last minute to where you're almost doggone near dead.
Yeah, and Tom, foundationally, that's where healthcare needs to design a preventative model that keeps people healthy and maintains a lifestyle. And this is going to take a generation or a generation and a half. But that's okay, because, you know, life is not going to cease to exist. We have time to get this right.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been going on for, you know, some hundreds, thousands, and millions of years, whatever. But, I mean, I just thought it was real disingenuous of this guy. And, you know,
he's not sincere.
I wish he hadn't have been reelected back to his seat.
I agree. He's very popular where he's at. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but Eric Cantor has a daughter that attends University of Michigan, so he's in the state quite a bit visiting her. But we'll let that go. Tom, thanks for your call, as always. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Maurice in Detroit. Maurice, welcome, and thanks for punching in this morning. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you. I was just trying to figure out who is causing the most problem. Is it the mayor or is it the city council that won't let the city move ahead?
It's the mayor.
It's the mayor.
Listen, when we're talking about a contract to approve a law firm, and the mayor's saying that no one's going to tell him what law firm he's going to hire, and he wants to hire a law firm that potentially can find themselves in a conflict of interest because they're also doing work on behalf of the state. So, Maurice, it's not like there's only one law firm that can do this work. Find one you can both agree on.
Right. It's just sad, man. It's just, they need to move on because it's downtown area, not just downtown, midtown, and everything else. It's trying to grow, and it just seems like they're just holding up progress.
I couldn't agree with you more, Maurice. That is my frustration. You've got people that want Detroit to thrive, and the leadership that it needs is absent. It blows my mind.
And then you got some black people that don't want to adjust to all the new changes that's downtown. Okay, but y'all had the opportunity when y'all was here. But y'all decided to go to the suburbs and move to 8 Mile. And there was an opportunity for anybody to make downtown thrive. And that's what they did. And they're bringing the city back, and I applaud them.
I'm proud of him, too. Maurice, thank you for your call. I appreciate your passion, brother. I truly do. Listen, if anybody's going to criticize change is hard. You know, not everybody likes change. I get that. I truly do. Change can be very difficult, especially if you don't necessarily agree with the change. But what you need to do is be objective and say to yourself, is this change positive? You know, you got to frame this in the right way. You've got to be honest with yourself. You've got to be honest with your neighbors, your families. Change can be an awfully good thing. It can also be an awfully bad thing, but change can be an awfully good thing. We need leadership. We so desperately need leadership in the city of Detroit. I'm so, so frustrated. I love the city. I do. I love Detroit. I just don't like what's happening to it right now, and I think many of you feel the same way. All right, a quick break here. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. Time to stand up, folks. I know it's early, but that's all right. Let's get it out of our system. Maybe we can start our day a little happier that way. We'll be right back.
This is Kevin from First Shift wishing all of our listeners a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is former congressman and national co-chair of the Blue-Green Alliance, Mark Schauer.
What I see in Michigan is growth in the auto sector relating to producing clean vehicles and the president's fuel efficiency standards, which there was a EPA hearing in Detroit. That change, which has been embraced by a coalition of the auto industry, the UAW, and environmental groups, 13 auto companies support it because they know that's what consumers want. And they also know it will create jobs. In Michigan, it will create about 24,000 jobs, good manufacturing jobs.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before 7 o'clock. Thanks for punching in with us this morning, and happy holidays to each and every one of you. Feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. I can think of, I'm going to come back to the city of Detroit here in just a moment, but a thought during the break is I can think of no more important issues than human rights and civil liberties. And if we are to work together on something, and I would like to think that this is a bipartisan issue. I know it's not. I'm not naive. Certainly human rights and civil liberties should be always be at the top of our list. If we are truly to be the shining light on the hill, what are we illuminating? You got to be careful. There's a responsibility. There's a responsibility to being the world leader in consciousness. And I think we're failing pretty miserably at this point. The partisanship is ripping the world apart. You don't think that by what's happening here, it doesn't affect us globally, doesn't affect the global condition? Think again. Think again. I'm going to get to a story a little bit later on that's going on in Uganda. Uganda, you say? Yeah, you'll be flabbergasted by what they're doing there. All right, let's a little more audio. The city of Detroit is out of control. As I said to Maurice, I believe that the mayor is mostly responsible. Charles Pugh just said it. He needs 5 votes to get what he wants, yet he's not lobbying for the votes. Yesterday, I very clearly stated that I do not believe that Dave Bing is up for this job of being mayor. He's not a politician, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. But there are games that need to be played, and I don't mean in a funny way. There are rules that need to be followed. Let me rephrase that. He doesn't play by the rules. Listen, when you want something, sometimes you have to ask for it. Now, the worst that's going to happen is what? Somebody's going to say no. But you have to ask. You can't assume. And I think that Dave Bing is just not right for this job. At a time when the city clearly needs direction, clearly needs a vision, clearly needs some leadership, he has not stepped up. He has backed down. That's sad. All right, this next piece of audio comes to us from Fox 2. I'll let it speak for itself. We'll talk about it on the other side.
That the City Council of Detroit is dysfunctional and blatantly stupid.
I think it's just disgraceful. I think it's to the point of just outright delusional.
The rhetoric is heating up, and Republicans have been watching this unfolding drama in Detroit between the City Council and Mayor Dave Bing and the apparent lack of progress on the consent agreement hammered out last April.
And so if they continue to push back and walk away, it becomes impossible to work with somebody who's behaving that way.
The Senate Republican leader does not believe the city is foot-dragging, but he does believe it's time to give the city 2 options, an emergency manager or a right to vote itself into bankruptcy.
Allow those elected officials in the city of Detroit to vote whether they want an appointed emergency financial manager or whether instead they would like to go toward federal bankruptcy and let them make that decision themselves.
This Republican senator is pushing a completely different option, dissolving the city and folding it into Wayne County government.
If we have to, that is one idea we have to look at. We have to look at everything that's on the table. Again, if this goes to federal bankruptcy, every employee down there will suffer. The city will suffer. and the vultures will come in and take the jewels of Detroit, and they will be gone.
The governor does want a new emergency manager proposal that would restore to local officials the right to determine their own destiny. Meanwhile, this Detroit senator believes what the state is doing to Detroit now amounts to blackmail.
If you don't sign this contract to this person, we're going to withhold money from you. Money that can go to police officers, money that can go to firefighters that you know we desperately need. That is outrageous. That's blackmail.
Work on the new EM law continues. In Lansing, Tim Scubit, Fox 2 News.
Yeah, let's talk about the work on the new emergency manager law. Didn't the, overwhelmingly, didn't the people of the state of Michigan just vote down an emergency manager law? Why do we need another one? I mean, we clearly don't want it. We clearly don't want it. So why are we having that discussion? Why is the governor, again, force-feeding legislation on an electorate that has already told him, stay the you-know-what away? Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we did this earlier in the hour. You need to stand up. This is out of control. Listen, what's happening in the city of Detroit, whether you like it or not, whether you recognize it or not, affects all of us. We are stunting growth. I don't care who you want to blame. Take sides. I don't care. It's not about blame anymore. It's about solutions. It's about compromise. You know, why does Mayor Dave Bing have to say it's this law firm or no law firm? Why is that so critical to him? I don't understand the answer to that. At the same time, why isn't City Council coming up and saying, listen, Your Honor, we'll make this simple. Here's a list of law firms that we find acceptable. Choose one of them. Why isn't that dialogue going on? Why is everything a pissing contest in the city of Detroit? And folks, this is decades of dysfunction between the mayor's office and the city council. It's almost as if it's written in the charter that they're not allowed to get along. Why is that? I mean, this is not a new problem. I have never seen a mayor-city council relationship in the city of Detroit that is functional, ever. And who loses? The region loses. The people in the city lose. Crime wins. No question, crime's winning. Blight's winning in a big way. Destruction and decay, absolutely top of the list. And where the city is thriving, it will only be sustained if more investment comes in. And the only way more investment's going to come in is if they fix the problems. I realize I'm stating the obvious. But maybe that's what needs to be done. And then somebody on one side and the other, not or, and the other, needs to start thinking about this with a little logic. These are not unsolvable problems. And I think Senator Coleman Young is 100% correct. The state is committing blackmail on the city. You either do this or you don't get that. What else could that be? It's blackmail. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous what is going on in the city of Detroit right now. And it has to stop. If we're having this conversation a month from now, and I assure you, when they start doing the furloughs, which is just meant to get to break the unions, because the only people that will be affected, the only employees affected by that will be union workers, it's really going to get out of control. Folks, this is as close to mutiny as you're going to get. Where's the leadership? All right, a quick break here. Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO, and Fran Brennan with Working America, right to work in the next hour, or I should say, right to work for less. It is a disaster. Is it coming? We'll have that discussion after we take this top of the hour break.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
We're still watching those two accidents on 75 northbound just before 14 mile. It's blocking your right shoulder. And on 75 northbound at Sashiba, we have that overturned vehicle blocking the right lane. Now, 75 both directions between West Road and Sibley Road, reduced down to two lanes for construction. And on 75 southbound between 7 Mile and 9 Mile, coming up at 9 a.m., left lane is going to be closed for some work. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. The battle between UN Ambassador Susan Rice and Senate Republicans is heating up, despite yesterday's meeting over the Benghazi attack. NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
Rice told the senator she wanted a chance to clear her name. But later, two of the senators she met with said they would still put a hold on her nomination.
President Obama expected to tap Ambassador Rice as his next Secretary of State. Airlines are playing the Grinch again this year. Fares are taking off just in time for Christmas. Travelers flying to several top destinations for the holiday can expect to pay 8% more than they did last year. Congress's lack of action on fiscal cliff issues putting a damper on Wall Street. The Dow down 90 yesterday. And who wants to be a half billionaire? NBC's Jay Gray.
The rush for the right numbers is on this morning. Millions looking to beat the odds and the deadline before tonight's Powerball drawing.
Chances of winning? 1 in 175 million. Ouch. This is NBC News Radio. The clock's ticking, that December 31st fiscal cliff deadline looming, and congressional Republicans and Democrats still far apart on a plan to avert automatic spending cuts and tax hikes. Missouri Democrat Claire McCaskill.
The Republicans need to understand that these tax cuts are going to go away at the end of the year if they don't get reasonable.
President Obama meeting today with CEOs on the fiscal cliff. More signs of a housing rebound. Prices are up. Home prices up 3% in most major cities, according to the widely watched Case-Shiller Index. That makes 6 months of consistent increases. Meantime, rents are up, too. They're expected to rise 4.6% in 2013 after a 4% increase this year. And sell it again, Sam. The piano used in the classic movie Casablanca is getting another turn at fame. It's being auctioned to celebrate the film's 70th anniversary, expected to fetch over $1 million. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Oh,
no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from AccountTemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from AccountTemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call AccountTemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. AccountTemps, a Robert Half Company.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Call it slow. Call it unwilling to intervene. Just don't call China a currency manipulator. Despite pressure from many in government and business, the U.S. Treasury Department, while describing China's currency policy, once again has refused to invoke the word manipulator. Treasury does say China's yuan is significantly undervalued, and its governmental policy of market intervention has been substantially reduced. Ahead of the massive multi-state Powerball lottery drawing this evening, here's some advice from financial advisors who tell Market Watch you should opt for the one-time lump sum payout, especially this time as the fiscal cliff threatens us. That's because taxes are likely to change after the first of the year, higher for the highest income earners, among which you will be if you win. The drawing is for more than a half billion dollars. Fiscal cliff fear is causing stock futures to slide and markets around the world also to go lower. Right now, S&P futures losing 3 points, NASDAQ futures down 6. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Oh, no. Are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Account Temps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Account Temps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the Internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer...
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality of being equal. First Shift with Tony Trippiano. It's about freaking time.
And welcome, everybody. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Wednesday morning, we are in wait of our next guest. So until she arrives, well, as usual, you're stuck with me. I'm okay with that. During the top of the hour break, got two emails from people, residents of the city of Detroit, who, both of them, interestingly enough, said that they're not going anywhere, that they're going to wait this out, but they're going to hold people's feet to the fire. I briefly mentioned this in the last hour. There was a scuffle at the council meeting on Monday. A very passionate resident disrupts the meeting, was forcefully removed. If you live in the city of Detroit, how frustrated are you? I'm just curious. If you live in the city of Detroit, and what's the frustration about? Is it about lack of progress, lack of leadership? Is it about feeling abandoned? Because I think if I were a resident, I would feel very much abandoned by my leadership. I'm telling you that I have real concern with Charles Pugh. Not just because he uses inappropriate language all the time, and he does. He does not show any kind of professional decorum. It's hard to respect somebody that doesn't seem to have a clear direction. I feel for those that live in the city. I truly do. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, obviously, many of you know how passionate I am about my friends in organized labor. In fact, I wouldn't exist without their financial support. I've never made a secret of that. But the Republican legislature is making a huge mistake by misreading what the citizens of the state of Michigan said when they turned down Proposal 2. What they said clearly, and we know this because of the exit polls after the election on November 6th, that they are very much in support by 70% of collective bargaining and organized labor. They just didn't feel it was constitution worthy. That's the message organized labor can deal with. Why isn't it a message the Republicans can deal with? Well, this is a conversation we need to have, and we're going to have it for an entire hour. But we start the conversation with my friend Carla Swift, the president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO. And Carla, let me first welcome you back and wish you the happiest of the holiday season.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's really great to be back, and happy holidays to you and all the listeners as well.
Yeah, I'm concerned, Carla, and I need to be very, very, you know, you and I have never had a problem being honest, and we're going to continue to do that today. We need some help, don't we?
Well, we absolutely do. It's a pretty amazing time that we're facing now. You just mentioned the polling coming off of the election, and it was absolutely clear that a majority, an overwhelming majority of Michigan voters, 70%, support the rights of workers to organize and to bargain collectively. And so there was no signal whatsoever on November 6th. About people not supporting collective bargaining, quite to the contrary. And in fact, in that same an independent poll by Lake Research that found that 70% continue to support collective bargaining, they also found that voters are overwhelmingly ready for politicians in Lansing to get down to the important work of creating jobs and improving education, and not interested in politicians changing rules about unions or collective bargaining. And the number there was 83%. 83% want Lansing politicians to dispense with the divisive politics and get down to the work of creating jobs and improving our state.
You know, and then Carla Swift, nobody works harder at these issues than you do. Certainly, you know, you are in daily contact with leaders of organized labor all over the state of Michigan. And we've just come off a pretty tough battle on Proposal 2. I'd like to suggest that there are a lot of people that are pretty damn tired. But, Carla, this is no time, of course, to take our foot off the pedal. And we understand what needs to be done. My first question to you, and I don't know that you necessarily have the answer to this, but why would the Republicans continue to chase an agenda that the only ones that want this is legislative Republicans? The rank and file Republicans, the people that vote, don't want this. The 70% of people that said, no, I support collective bargaining, weren't 70% of Democrats. It was 70% of voters, Carla.
You know, that's absolutely right. You have to wonder, when are the people who say that they're interested in nothing but positive action and moving forward going to stop the divisive politics? There is so much work to be done. You know, Michigan, we all know, has real problems to solve, and it really is about high quality jobs. We've got infrastructure to build. You know, we all know we have to improve and continue to work on education and healthcare, and workers and their unions are an important part of those solutions. But, you know, we still hear the threats about the so-called right-to-work legislation, or, you know, what we all know it really is right-to-work for less. And you have to be honest. We know that this isn't about rebuilding Michigan. If it were, then middle-class families in states that have right-to-work laws would be better off, and they're not. We know that the real motive behind these attacks on everyday workers, teachers, nurses, firefighters, it really is about silencing the voices of Michigan workers by having a state without any unions, where nobody is standing up for workers. And, you know, when we're facing what we've been facing, Wall Street executives outsourcing jobs and cutting workers' benefits. So we have to ask ourselves, what are these people thinking?
Well, and what's the end game? You know, Carla, it's clear. If we were to travel to the west side of the state, you know, a few months back, maybe it was 6-8 weeks ago, they had a little conference there. All these west side businessmen came together, and all they talked about was right to work for less and how important it was and why we needed to pursue that agenda. But the reason they want to do it is because they feel it puts more money in their pockets. We know, you know, I'll use it as an example. We had somebody on the show last week. The state of Oklahoma, when they passed Right to Work for Less 25 years ago, it was under the promise that it would expand business and expand jobs. Well, in the last 25 years, Carla, they have lost, and this is interesting, they have lost 15% of their jobs, and they have 30% less businesses today than they had 25 years ago. Tell me how that works.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. The numbers just don't bear out. And Oklahoma is the one example of a state that has passed Right to Work in the last 2.5 decades. And that is the evidence. At the 10-year mark after Oklahoma had passed Right to Work, and that was, of course, a state where state legislators promised that companies would relocate to the state because of the law and there would be more jobs available. But 10 years after, jobs had fallen by 25%, and the number of companies moving there had dropped by 33%, and those numbers have not improved over the next 10, 15 years in Oklahoma. Other right-to-work states have similar economic problems, like South Carolina, Mississippi, Arkansas. Workers have lower wages by an average of 3.2%, no benefits, no job security, and you're hitting it right on the button here, Tony, because politicians and particularly these conservative Republican politicians and the CEOs that are funding them, they know that unions are a check on corporate greed. And so silencing the voice, the collective voice of workers, is really what this is about. So that's why they're spending more than $1 billion to elect politicians who are willing to do their bidding and give them free rein over the economy, because they don't want any checks on their power. So they're all about weakening unions and weakening the workers' voice and lowering wages and shipping more jobs to China and giving even more power to corporate America.
You know, it's interesting. Of course, this goes back to something we talk about on the show a lot, which is follow the money. And if we've, and you just beautifully articulated that. Before people get the idea that all you do is hang out with union leaders, you actually spend a lot of time with rank and file union men and women. Are they offended by this this action? This is a pretty purposeful harm that is trying to be perpetrated on the working men and women in this state. How are the rank and file union members taking this?
Well, it is offensive. They are offended by it. And it's not just rank and file union members. It's everyday workers, whether they're union members or not. We put a petition up where people could go and sign on over the last, week or so. And yesterday we delivered 11,000 petition signatures to legislators in Lansing. When I say we, it wasn't union leaders. It was everyday workers. In this case, yesterday, it was firefighters and nurses. They were, and you can go on the AFL-CIO web Facebook page, and you can see the and you can see pictures of them delivering those petitions and calling on the Republicans, particularly in Lansing, who are the ones that are backing this, to stop the divisive politics and get to the work of rebuilding Michigan.
All right, Carla, stay where you're at. We need to take a very quick break here. Lots to get to on the other side. Right to Work the entire hour, folks. So this is part one of two parts, and we need to have the discussion. You want to join us? 888-552-3595, but we'll be right back.
This is Jessica Tremontana, Communications Director with Progress Michigan, and we wish all of Tony Truppiano's audience a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your drive, we've cleared one accident, but we've picked up a new one. It's on 75 southbound just after Baldwin. Left shoulder is blocked. And we're still watching that problem on 75 northbound at Sashabaugh. It's an overturned tanker, and that's blocking your right lane. Now, traffic is moving slow on 696 westbound between DeQuinder and 75. Same for 75 southbound between 14 Mile and 11 Mile. And they're moving slow on 96 eastbound between Milford and Beck Roads. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585
Hi, Tony Truffiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Find our First Shift with Tony Truppiano Facebook page. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now, back to the show and Tony.
22 minutes after 7 o'clock, my guest is Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO. And Carla, my next question is, it's an easy one. Governor Snyder claims that it's not on, a right to work for less is not on his agenda. We did uncover a video a few months back when he was a candidate that said if right to work was put on his desk, that he would sign it. We've got it in his own words. If he truly is against right to work for less, don't you believe he could show some leadership here and just tell the Republicans, stop this fight? Or doesn't he have any cachet with this group?
Well, he certainly could do that. That's what many and all of us have been calling on him to do. For the better part of 2 years, almost 2 years. So it's, you have to wonder. I mean, this is the guy who said, I'm all about relentless positive action and moving the state forward and solving the real problems that we have in Michigan. Look, workers and their unions are not, the source of all Michigan's problems. and to continue to support the divisive politics of the Republicans in the legislature and not provide leadership that is required of the executive of our state is just, you know, disappointing at the very least.
Yeah, Carla, as I'm sure you're aware, incoming House Minority Leader Tim Grimmel told Speaker Jace Bolger yesterday that if they pursued right to work for less, they were going to have a hell of a time in the next legislative session. I take Tim Grimmel at his word. I find him to be more than capable as our next incoming minority leader. I think it's time we do get more than a little tough with these folks.
That is absolutely right. We're really we're looking forward to working with Representative Grimmel in his new leadership role, and it's true. Look, there are things that the Republicans want to move that they are going to need some Democratic help with, and the Democrats are interested in being helpful, but they're not interested in continuing the divisive politics and the attack on workers in this state. So we're very fortunate to have those friends in the legislature that are going to, we think, be sending the message to Governor Snyder and the Republicans in Lansing that, you know, we want to work with anybody and everybody to help rebuild Michigan, but we're not going to participate in helping dismantle the voice of workers in this state.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned firefighters, nurses, certainly being very proactive yesterday. And I'm thinking if the legislature put the kind of energy into getting the bridge built or into reforming education in a proactive way, into finding a formula that allows us to bring teachers back into the classroom, to bring firefighter and policemen back to the streets. If we took that energy and put it towards something good, Carla, what we could actually accomplish?
Yeah, it's pretty astonishing the opportunities that really have been squandered because people have been spending time over the past 2 years doing things that weren't about rebuilding Michigan, but again, attacking workers. And you know, we've got to spend time working on investing in people and in the places and the infrastructure that Michigan needs to support to be a great place to live, work, and raise a family. And we cannot wait one more day to start working together to put Michigan back to work and rebuild this economy so that it works for everyone.
Well, certainly we need to make an ask of this audience. Obviously, they need to reach out to their elected representatives and let them know how they feel about right to work for less, whether you are part of a union or not. And we're going to talk to our friend Fran Brennan in the next half hour, Carla. And we know that they're doing some fabulous work at Working America with non-union households. But we need to make sure this legislature understands that when we say no, we mean no.
That's absolutely right. I'm so glad you're talking to Fran. They did such great work at Working America. And they're great partners for all of Michigan's working men and women. And yeah, I think the audience can reach out to their representatives and senators in the state legislature, regardless of which side of the aisle they're on. If they're represented by someone who is supportive of Michigan's working men and women, then call them up and thank them for standing with Michigan's workers and call on them to continue to do that. And if they're not, then let them know that we expect them to support what's good for middle class and working Michiganders, and we expect them to stop the divisive politics.
You know, Carla, it's interesting as we take a look at numbers, at statistics, most of them bipartisan. We know that when people are paid more, they spend more. We know that when they are given a real working living wage, that the economy gets stronger. We know that union workers, of course, make substantially more than non-union workers. We also know,
And again, this is bipartisan information. We also know that the only way the economy will grow, and most economists have said this loud and clear to the President of the United States, the only way the economy is going to grow is if we increase wages in this country. With all that said, right to work for less does none of those things, and in fact would cause more recessionary action to take place. And again, the disconnect here, if we're talking about Republicans who are supposed to be fiscally responsible, I can't think of a more irresponsible act than deliberately shooting the economy in the tire.
Yeah, you have hit the nail on the head. It isn't about, right to work for less isn't about rebuilding Michigan. It is about politics, plain and simple. You know, this claim that workers and their unions are the source of all the problems. Look, workers and unions didn't bankrupt our state. The economy collapsed thanks to recklessness of folks on Wall Street and thanks to CEO greed. And so, that's happened. That's behind us, and we need to move forward. We need to work together. There's a lot of people who need to be partners in the solution. It's unions and workers. It's business and government and taxpayers. And it's about restoring our economy and creating jobs that put us back to work, not wrecking good middle-class jobs that support Michigan's working families, because you're absolutely right. People need to earn a decent wage and have the protections of decent health care and some pension protection so that then they can support a thriving economy. It's time to get to work.
Yeah, this isn't rocket science. It's really not. We're going to keep, of course, right on top of this. Carla, thank you so much. I hope to talk to you again very soon. I know you got to work through the holidays, but we appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you, Tony. Let me make one more point. The legislature's in session now, and so we're visiting legislators every day, Tuesday through Thursday in the next few weeks. People should come on up to Lansing and join us. Stop by the AFL-CIO and grab a cup of coffee and get on over there and talk face-to-face with their legislators if they've had time.
And we'll remind them to do that. Thanks again, Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO. A quick break here. Fran Brennan when we continue.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
As we get ready to head into that rush hour traffic, we picked up an accident on 96 eastbound at Beck Road. It's blocking your left shoulder and causing slow traffic from Milford. 75 southbound just after Baldwin, disabled semi is blocking the right shoulder and that's causing slow traffic from Sashaba. And on 75 northbound at Sashaba, we're still watching that overturned tanker that has your right lane blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Progressive working family advocates are in Washington, D.C., telling Congress not to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid as the lame duck session deals with the so-called fiscal cliff. Activists and labor leaders from 33 states are participating in a two-day lobbying effort to support the expiration of the Bush tax cuts for the top 2% while preserving vital working family programs. The AFL-CIO's Amaya Toon says a solid majority of Americans want to preserve these programs while increasing taxes on the top 2%.
We're really aiming to bring the voice of the people to Congress on these issues. We really want to be clear that we can't close this deficit and budget gap by putting it on the backs of middle class and working families. And we have to really be clear about what a deal would look like that wouldn't hurt working families. We polled after this election as well, too, and we saw really strong support for protecting the social insurance safety net. And we also saw really strong support for raising taxes on the wealthiest in this country.
Toon says Republicans say they want entitlement reforms, but the American people don't yet know exactly what that means.
We don't, and that's what's scary about this debate, and that's why we think members of Congress need to hear from their constituents, and they need to hear from the families back in their district. Unfortunately, we're hearing things like everything's on the table, and we know what that usually means. It usually means that working families are usually on the chopping block.
The AFL-CIO has released a state-by-state report detailing the damage that will be done to working families if Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid are cut, including the damage that would be done to state economies. Federal whistleblowers will now have greater protections thanks to a bill signed into law by the president. Jesse Russell reports.
President Barack Obama signed a bill into law on Tuesday that provides greater protections for federal whistleblowers. A number of loopholes in previous whistleblower laws made it risky for government workers to report fraud and waste. In addition to closing those loopholes, the legislation expands protections. For example, scientists who allege censorship of their work will have greater protections. That piece of the legislation was likely in response to claims made by scientists under the Bush administration, saying the administration would distort and suppress findings if the data provided contradicted policies, especially those policies related to regulations. According to one study, whistleblower laws have been so lax that in the last 18 years, whistleblowers have only won in 3 out of 229 cases.
This newscast is made possible in part through underwriting support from the OPEIU and the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
On 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after 7 o'clock as we continue our hour-long work at Right to Work for Less. We did enjoy and certainly our conversation with Carla Swift, president of the Michigan State AFL-CIO, was a great entree into the second part of this hour. When we take a look at the statistics, and we're going to do some of that in this half hour, we do know, why the people that are involved in unions are so high on those unions. Not everybody. Let's be realistic. There's no such thing as 100% happiness on anything. But we know why people in the union movement are, by and large, are happy with that affiliation. They make more money. They have better protections. There are better rules, much better defined circumstances, and I could go on and on and on. But what about non-union families? How do they see these issues? Well, we're going to talk about that, and I want to remind you something that Carl and I got to. We know, based on the exit polls, based on the polling that was done by Lake Research just after the November 6th election, 70% of Michiganders support collective bargaining. Not 70% of union families, not 70% of Democratic families, 70% of Michiganders support collective bargaining. That brings me to my next guest. Joining you now is Fran Brennan. Fran is the Michigan State Director for Working America, who is now over 100,000 non-union members strong. Fran, happy holidays to you and welcome back to First Shift.
Happy holidays to you, Tony, and good morning, and thanks for having me on.
It is my pleasure. Well, you know, let's start with the basic question, and this I think it's a fair question: is Right to Work for Less just about unions, or is it about all working people?
You know, Working America members are realizing that it is actually about all working families. The impact from Right to Work laws impact everyone, and the typical right to work law, once it's initiated in a state, lowers wages by $1,500 per year for both union and non-union working people. And that's a substantial sum of money that people deserve and don't deserve to have cut from their paychecks annually. Additionally, with right to work, it decreases the odds of getting good health care insurance, having a pension through your job. And this, again, impacts both union and non-union employees. And most importantly, Right to Work has no impact whatsoever on improving job growth. So what our members that are non-union people that work hard every day, they really want our legislators to focus on getting good quality jobs and not focusing on this kind of what is being perceived as kind of political nonsense.
Well, and I think in a very real way it is political nonsense. One of the things that Carla Swift and I briefly mentioned, Fran, was this idea that somebody wants right to work for less. And who is that somebody? Well, it's corporate CEOs. It's people that own, multi-million or billion-dollar businesses. But we're the rank-and-file people, people that live and work in our communities. I don't run into people. Listen, I disagree on many issues with those on the other side of the aisle. I'm very partisan, as you know, Fran. But I'm not getting a single call from a single rank-and-file everyday person that happens to be Republican or getting emails from them saying, no, right to work for less is the right thing to do. Besides the politicians and the CEOs, Fran, I don't know who's supporting this.
And it's really intriguing because, as you know, Tony, Working America is a nonpartisan community organization. And what we're amazed by, our members don't understand if when you have a Republican Governor Snyder, and you have the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, and you have the school management groups all coming out and saying they're opposed to right to work, along with all the labor unions, all the union families, and non-union families saying that they're opposed to it, it doesn't make any sense. This is something that is not going to benefit Michigan economically, and it shouldn't be discussed in the next few weeks when there are so many other really important issues that need to be addressed.
Well, that is, of course, a whole different conversation, but a very important conversation, Fran, because we are ignoring some realities. And, and I'm going to ask the simple question, because we know this to be true. When you are in an organized labor environment, when you are in a union, there are certain things that become automatic. Safety on the job. As I said a few minutes ago, there are rules that need to be followed that are fair, that are negotiated, that are based on fact. We know that there is a process. If something goes wrong on the job, there's a grievance process. If you are harassed, laws are followed. Non-union households benefit from that. I get that. But, Fran, let's take away that protection. Let's, for a moment, as much as I shudder to do this, Fran Brennan, let's for a moment say that right to work for less passes in Michigan. What happens to those protections?
Well, those protections just melt away. I mean, they're no longer there. And being no longer available as a resource to protect yourself. And I guess I also want to focus on much of what our members are concerned about is not just about them and their immediate future. They're really worried about their children and the generations to come as well. And so once you initiate something like this, it completely changes the working relationship in Michigan, and something that in the state of Michigan, we have not had in decades. We have been blessed with strong union representation. And I know that years back, Tony, when I had my first job, I was really excited by the wage I was making. And my mother, who was never in a union and who was, probably a Republican, I'm not sure, but probably, reminded me that I had the unions to thank for the wages I was going to be getting at the ice cream parlor, because the unions were bringing everybody up to a higher level. Right to work will take everyone down to a much lower level.
Yeah, we have plenty of, and I don't want to get bogged down in numbers, we have plenty of numbers that support that. We talked about that a little bit with Carla Swift in the last half hour. And that information we've talked about on the show. We've had experts on the show that have discussed it. We've had bipartisan information that we've shared with the audience. I mean, it's just clear, Fran, that right to work for less and what it's done in the states where it is the law of the land has done nothing. I'd love to use the state of Texas as an example. The average working person in the state of Texas, which is a right to work for less state, the average working person has, on average, over two jobs to try to make ends meet. Fran Brennan, you can't live that way.
No, and many of our members in Michigan are in the same situation. They are working at jobs where they have to have at least two jobs, and they are working hard. These are not people that are lazy. These are not people that don't want to do their fair share. What they do want, though, are fair wages. What they do want is quality job opportunity. And that's what they want the legislature to work on. And I think that our members get really discouraged when the focus becomes so much on partisan politics and not on really making Michigan a better place to live. Our members feel that they've elected people to represent them, and they want the representatives to truly do their job and do what's right for Michigan.
Well, you know, that's the interesting part of this, is it just doesn't seem, you know, let's go back to the polling that was done after the election. 70% of Michiganders, again, I hate to repeat it so much, but I think it's an important statistic. Support collective bargaining, support union families. So that in and of itself is a very good number. So we ask ourselves, again, who benefits from this? And we've already answered that question. Why do you think, Fran, the politicians ignore what is the will of the people?
It's a very interesting question, and I think it's one that really frustrates a lot of our members. I know, Tony, this past year, we were on this show with you, and again, it was regarding cyber schools and the expansion of cyber schools, and our members were really concerned about privatizing education. And you know, this kind of speaks to the very right to work issue, that they're trying to privatize and keep workers from having a voice. And I'm not clear why they are motivated to do this unless they're being very short-sighted, because our members don't have short memories. They believe that they elected you to represent them, and they believe in accountability. And certainly our members exerted that accountability this past election cycle. There was a representative that had frustrated a lot of our members, had made commitments about cyber schools, had made promises, broke his promise, would not return phone calls, and our members decided that there needed to be something done about that. And I guess I would like to underscore right now with all your listeners, you know, there really is power in the people, and power in people letting their legislators know what is really important to them. And I think Carla mentioned earlier that if they can take the time to make the call, to write the letters, to even visit their legislators in Lansing this week and next week, it can be a really powerful difference in what ends up happening in the next few days.
No question. Fran Brennan, the Michigan State Director of Working America, is my guest. Fran, we have to take a very quick break, so stay where you're at. We'll come back and continue our discussion. Again, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. By the way, what, and we'll answer this question when we come back, what does Right to Work for Less legislation actually say? You know, maybe we haven't done a very good job of articulating that, so we'll do that on the other side. Fran Brennan, again, my guest. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's Lori Lamarin from Planned Parenthood, wishing all of the listeners a wonderful and blessed holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5022.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now, director of Hellbound, Kevin Miller.
Yeah, well, definitely. And that's something I would say is that this debate over hell, some people might say, I don't need to watch that film, I don't believe in hell. Well, in Hellbound, what we do is we draw a connection between what we believe in and the kind of world we create. And underlying every society is some form of worldview that is going to give rise to an internal set of values, which we externalize into laws and all that sort of thing. And so if the foundation of your worldview includes a God who's ultimately uses violence as a problem solver, we're going to become a very violent people.
First Shift with Tony Trivino
on 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now. 888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. It is 10 minutes before 8 o'clock. My guest is Fran Brennan, the Michigan State Director for Working America. Now, I just want to read what the so-called right-to-work legislation would do. And I want to listen to this now loud and clear. It makes it illegal for any group of employees to negotiate an agreement with their employer if that group requires everyone who benefits from a union contract to pay their share of the cost of administering the contract. Think about the ludicrousness of that. And that there are actually states that have adopted this, that embrace it, that had legislatures that passed it, and governors that signed it. Fran, this is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, and it's appalling. The notion that there are legislators out there that think that people should be able to get something for free, and at the expense of other people paying for it, is really unfair. Our members recognize that there is a fairness issue here that does suggest that there is an attempt to try to in some way hurt unions, because that's the only explanation you can get from this. What this is saying is that if you are a teacher in Florida and you decide not to join the teachers union, because Florida is a right-to-work state, you don't have to join the teacher union. But if in a few months you have a grievance and you're really upset about something, you can go to that very union that exists for teachers in Florida and that you did not join, and you can require them to represent you and have costs involved in that process, of which none of those costs did you invest in because you chose not to. So it gives someone complete access without ever paying a penny to support that unlimited access.
And obviously, Fran, your membership that I want to again underscore and remind this audience are non-union families. They get this. I mean, they get that by reaching out and helping to protect what we already have, they benefit from.
We absolutely understand that we benefit from the opportunities that union leaders are able to acquire for their members. And I do want to, I know that you know this, but if I could remind your listeners, Working America is 70% people who identify as conservative or moderate Republicans. Their members, who 33% own guns, 33% go to church on a weekly basis, And most importantly, 82% are active voters. And so we're talking about a segment of the population that identify as being moderate to conservative Republicans who are saying right to work has nothing to do with economic growth. Right to work will actually hurt all of us and hurt our children and grandchildren in years to come. And we don't want this kind of activity going on. We want our legislators in Lansing to focus on issues that are more important right now.
Well, and God knows we wish they would do that, because we're not getting a whole lot accomplished and haven't now for quite a few years. And it's time, you know, as Michigan has a chance to turn the corner, you've got to wonder if we're making a U-turn, Fran.
Yeah, and, you know, and I do bring this up a lot, but I would like to go back to the cyber school and the privatization of education, because it's all along the same thing. I'm not sure what this group is thinking, because we were clearly letting them know last year that we were opposed to privatizing education. And I think, you know, some of them experienced that backlash during the election cycle. All of this is in play where whether you want to privatize everything and add right to work to everything, at the end of the day, the working families in Michigan, union and non-union alike, don't want that kind of activity going on. They want you to do your job as an elected official. And your job is for better quality education, better quality opportunities for jobs, and doing right to work is not advancing that cause at all.
Well, it certainly is not. And let's keep in mind, Fran, we're not just talking about the financial aspect of being in a union. I mean, we've discussed that the cost of the cost of wages certainly are better for union families, and that of course benefits everybody because it drives up the cost of wages in non-union workplaces. But you know, we also talked about safety issues, we also talked about rules, we talked about grievances. There are plenty of reasons that have nothing to do with the financials where a union workplace benefits from that collective bargaining agreement.
Exactly, and it really is similar to our system of government. It's a checks and balance. I mean, all that unions really do is give a united voice to people. That is the essence of what unions do, is that they represent working people at the work site. And it is a way for, and everyone benefits, it's a way for management to hear from the workers and get a viewpoint from them that's important for them to hear, and also for the workers to hear from the management. And this checks and balance is getting distorted as each year passes. While unions become less of a powerful voice, we have witnessed the management, the top CEOs having a much more powerful voice and one that is not as inclined to listen to working families. And that's why right to work is so bad for Michigan, because we need working families' voices to be heard. Our members, and as you mentioned earlier, we have over 100,000 in the state of Michigan. And as I said, you know, they vote, they are aware, they don't understand why you would do right to work when everything leads to very clearly that this is not economic development, that it is just something that will be very divisive for the state.
And it's already accomplishing, unfortunately, that task, and so we need to be careful. We want to remind everybody, Fran, again, to reach out to their elected representatives. Let them know that they are not supportive of right to work for less legislation. Make it clear how you feel on this. We don't know where it's headed. We know that there's a lack of leadership, as we talked about with Carla Swift, Fran. You know, the governor could really come out and say to the Republicans, don't do this. But he's not doing that. He's not doing it loudly enough. I don't accept his, it's not on my agenda. If it's really not on your agenda, then you would put an end to this. With that said, we have a culpability. We have a responsibility, both union and non-union families, to let our legislators know that no is no and enough's enough.
Well, and you also have to wonder, Tony, this is a really busy time of year for families. I mean, we've entered the holiday season. You know, moms and dads are getting ready to have people to come over and celebrate the holidays with them, and so many other activities that have been added to their already very busy schedules. One has to wonder why this is being moved through now and so quickly. And so if nothing else, letting our legislators know that this is not the time for this discussion. Stop. Let us have time to get through the holidays. And then discuss this if we need to next year would make more sense.
All right, friend Brendan, we're just out of time. Happy holidays to you. We may be talking again before the next couple weeks is up. So thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. Happy holidays.
As always, Fran, a pleasure. Let's take a quick break for the top of the hour. Much more to do with Stephen Anderson when we continue.
Feelings here.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
As we get ready to head into that rush hour traffic, we've picked up an accident on 96 eastbound at Beck Road. It's blocking your left shoulder and causing slow traffic from Milford. 75 southbound just after Baldwin, disabled semi is blocking the right shoulder and that's causing slow traffic from Sashaba. And on 75 northbound at Sashaba, we're still watching that overturned tanker that has your right lane blocked. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night, only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Pete Williams. Who wants to be a half billionaire? Lines are growing at Powerball outlets ahead of tonight's $500 million drawing. NBC's Andrea Canning says it's the talk of the town.
This is a really big deal. This is a lot of money. And this jackpot, it just keeps growing. It's grown $175 million in just the last 3 days alone.
Averting the fiscal cliff is the goal. NBC's Chris Matthews says President Obama meets today with CEOs at the White House.
He's got to get the business community on his side to put pressure on Republicans in the House so they can get a deal before Christmas. Yeah. The president's been playing this right so far.
Republicans say they will fight the president's plan to increase top-end tax rates. Investors are concerned about the lack of progress on the fiscal cliff. The Dow was down 90 yesterday, and stock futures are lower this morning. And a federal judge says Big Tobacco must pay for an ad campaign admitting that it lied for decades about the dangers of smoking. This is NBC News Radio. Christmas travelers are in for a touch of humbug this year. CNBC's Bertha Combs says prices are higher, especially for flyers.
Airfares are expected to be about 5% higher than last year. And if you leave on the Saturday before Christmas and return the following Saturday, you could expect to pay up to 27% more. Hotel rates are also up in a number of cities.
Wet weather in the Golden State. An intense storm is slamming into Northern California today with strong wind and heavy rain. It's the first in a series of powerful storms that could dump up to a foot of rain in some spots by the weekend. The ACLU is suing over the military's long-standing policy barring women from ground combat, arguing that the exclusion denies women promotion and career opportunities. And GM is taking Siri for a ride. The carmaker has found a way to link Apple's chatty electronic assistant to its new infotainment system, allowing drivers to check sports scores, phone friends, or use voice navigation. Pete Williams, NBC News Radio.
Guys, remember when you could work all day, play all night, and romance was electrifying? And then you got older, tireder, and your waistline got bigger. What's happened? Simple. You're losing testosterone. Well, get it back safely, naturally, and inexpensively with Andro 400. Listen to what Don from Greenville, South Carolina says.
I am only 10 weeks into taking Andro 400, and I have lost 12 pounds and 3 inches from my waist. My energy level has increased, and my appetite has decreased. All this without additional exercise. Normally, I scoff at radio or TV ads promising results like this, but in this case, my results have far exceeded my expectations.
Experience all the benefits of increased testosterone the safe and natural way with Andro 400. Go to Andro400.com today and get our best offer of the year, up to 40% off. Go now, Andro400.com.
Even amid signs the nation is course-correcting on some of its big issues with debt, we see another possible mess in the making. The Fed Reserve Bank of New York says U.S. student loan debt jumped almost 5% to more than $950 billion at the start of the new college term, and payments on 11% of loans are 90 days or more past due. Wall Street Journal says it has many worried that the arguably well-intentioned push to make college loans easier to get soon may cause major financial problems. TVs, tablets, coffee makers. Green Mountain Roasters believes this holiday shopping season will be a great one for its signature product, the Keurig Single Cup Coffee Brewer. It definitely was a good fall for the company. Green Mountain stock is up 24% in early trades after reporting a 22% increase in earnings third quarter. Fiscal cliff fear is pulling on markets around the world again. Our stock futures are down. S&P futures right now losing 5. NASDAQ futures off 7. Dow futures down 36. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Newman, where's Shipley with my cost analysis?
She's homesick, Mr. Fernwell. I'll handle it.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh, no, are you sick too, sir?
Newman, last time you did the cost analysis, it wasn't pretty. Call Bob from Accountemps.
Oh, I never get to do any of the important stuff.
Okay, you can do payroll.
Yes. What's that?
On second thought, Bob from Accountemps could handle payroll, too.
Bob.
Call Accountemps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Accountemps, a Robert Half Company.
Whether you're running a family or running a business, there's so much running to do and so little time. So let Carbonite run your computer backup for you, automatically and continually, whenever you're connected to the internet. Unlimited backup space for one computer is just $59 a year. Carbonite also has plans to back up all your small business computers for one low price. Try it free today at Carbonite.com. No credit card required. Use offer code BACKUP and get 2 bonus months with purchase. Carbonite.com. Offer
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us. And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now. First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. It is 6 minutes after 8 o'clock as we enter hour three of this 4-hour talk fest. Hope you're all doing well on this hump day Wednesday, November 28th, 2012. We've got a lot to get to in this hour. And throughout the rest of the program today, you're always welcome to join us. Of course, we ask you to be topical, 888-552-3595. And because we've got so much to get to, I will leave the solitary banter to the side for now and go to our intro. Let's get going, guys.
Editorial page editor and host of American Black Journal.
None of this is going to be able to be fixed without cash, which is something we don't have right now in Detroit and don't have that much in the state. But there are some big ticket things that need to be done that can't be done for free.
The Detroit Free Press's and First Shift Voice of Reason.
That's where you get into the idea that this is going to cost, and not just Detroiters, this is going to cost people all over the state of Michigan to try to dig Detroit fully out of this hole.
Mr. Stephen Henderson.
And joining us now is our friend, Mr. Stephen Henderson. And a happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you, Stephen.
Happy holidays to you too, Tony.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, there's a lot on our agenda today. We've got some positive stuff to get to, so we're going to make sure we make some time for that in just a little bit. But because it was such an important part of our early morning, we do need to talk some about the city of Detroit. And I can think of no better subject to do that with than yesterday's news coming out of the state Senate that a deal has been reached on a regional transit authority.
Yeah, I guess late yesterday they finally worked it all out. Of course, as soon as that happened, my email box and Twitter account went crazy with people who don't like the deal, sort of pointing out what they think are the flaws, which gave me real pause about whether this might have a hard time in the other chamber. But it's a good thing. It's a big step forward. It's something we've been waiting a long time for them to do. These things are tougher to get done here than they should be, and tougher than they are in other regions. So, you know, the Senate deserves a lot of credit for stepping up and saying let's at least take the first step.
Let me, and I know you've done this before, but for the sake of those that have not heard you talk about this before, you lived in Baltimore for a long time, and one of the things that you have talked about on this program more than once is how important transit was to that area, and it's something that's sorely missing here.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is still the only city that I ever visit, even in this country, where you can't get off a plane at the airport and get on a train or a bus to take you to downtown. This is literally the only place that that's true. And in Baltimore, where I lived for 12 years, not only could you take the train right to the middle of downtown from Detroit, but you could also get buses statewide. I mean, the transit authority there is run by the state, not by not by counties or individual cities, and so it's uniform across the state. I mean, you get on a bus in Baltimore, it looks just like the bus in Silver Spring, and it runs on the same kind of schedule. And because that's true, and because the state doesn't have to sort of dicker with individual authorities all over the place, there's a lot more progress that gets done. So, for example, we have a subway on the west side of Baltimore that comes into downtown. They're building an extension to that subway, which is sort of unheard of in this day and age, the public works project of that size getting the green light and getting funded. But it was no big deal in Maryland. And so it's a real contrast to the way we do things here, where you've got to get every local government authority to sign off on the smallest scale transit projects. Think of something like SMART, where we ask every community if they want to be part of it. It's part of the reason that this doesn't work. This regional transit authority is at least a step in the other direction, saying we're going to make these decisions as a region. We're going to make them for the benefit of everybody in the region, and we're not going to worry necessarily about what any particular place is getting or not getting out of it.
Oh, well, let's talk a little bit, but more specifically about the transit authority. What would it do? What would it be its express purpose, and how long would it be? Let's say it were to pass tomorrow before we would start to see some effect from this decision.
Well, I mean, the idea here is to coordinate all of the transit in Southeast Michigan. So, SMART, DDOT, and any other system that we might have. You know, we're talking about this light rail that might still get built, and there's a bus rapid transit system that the governor wants to put in place, they would all be managed eventually by this authority, and they would be funded by the authority, and planning for them would be done by the authority. The idea is to get everyone to work together, and this is a big priority of the Obama administration. Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood has said many times that they are not going to be funding transit projects in regions that don't have these authorities. And so, for example, our bus rapid transit, our light rail projects, those depend on having these authorities and funding them. You know, in the short term, it doesn't mean DDOT or SMART will go away. It doesn't supersede them immediately. But in the long run, I think the obvious goal would be to merge those systems in to this regional transit authority, or just, you know, sort of wipe them away and make it so that there's no difference. You get on a bus in downtown Detroit, you get on a bus in Pontiac, it's all managed by the same people.
And of course, none of this materializes overnight, and what it would ultimately do, we would hope anyway, would be to expand opportunity for people. I mean, one of the things that we know to be a clear and present danger, and I'll just stick specifically at this moment to the city of Detroit, but I mean, it's legendary. The bus breakdowns, the lack of access.
Sure.
We have a listener to the show that sends two of his children to school on city schools on city buses, and for a long period of time, they were so late for school every day, they were threatening to fail them because they were so. I mean, these are real issues, and they need to get resolved, and they're not getting resolved, Stephen.
No, they aren't, and you know, DDOT is exhibit A, you know, of a system that just doesn't work. You know, the high cost to the city of that system, and the gross inefficiency of it in terms of the service delivery are like you, as you say, legendary. But I don't think DDOT can be singled out. I mean, SMART also doesn't work because of the funding mechanism that it relies on. It's in a lot of trouble. It has cut way, way back on services because it can't generate the money that it needs. You know, we just are not a state that's wealthy enough anymore. I mean, the way that we finance things here, and the huge losses that we've sustained since 2007 really suggest that the hyper local management of things like transit systems is not going to be possible here anymore, just even from a financial perspective. And so moving toward a regional management system is in some ways acknowledgement of the reality of the change that we're experiencing here.
Well, let's hope that something positive comes up of this. You made a good point. Now it goes to the House, and whatever manifests there. And let's be honest about it. What's happening here in the lame duck legislature at the state level could drastically affect any kind of compromise.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, the sticking point right now, I think, is, or at least what I was hearing from people last night was complaints about the representation in Wayne County. Wayne County, outside of Detroit, there are some folks who feel like they're not getting enough representation on this authority, that the city of Detroit will have more than they do, and they're worried that you know, that's unfair. You know, I would hope two things happen. One, I'd hope that you know, people would take that seriously and try to address their concerns, but I also hope that the people voicing those concerns at some point can say, listen, this is really not about my local constituency. It's not about local money versus regional money. The whole idea of this thing is to make sure that the region is served well, and getting caught up in who has what representation and how many votes you have on the board is one of the ways that that you always thwart that stuff.
Well, let me we need to get to break, Stephen, but I'll remind this audience that the transportation secretary has been to Michigan many times in the last year. They're serious about making an investment here. Let's pay attention. Let's heed some important warnings here. A quick break. We'll come back with Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press, right after we do this. Stay with us.
Anthony from First Shift wishing our audience a happy and safe holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your rush hour traffic, we've got an accident that's blocking your left lane on 75 southbound just before 696. That's causing stop-and-go traffic from 14 Mile. Disabled semi is blocking the right shoulder on 275 northbound near 10 Mile. Still watching an overturned tanker that's blocking the right shoulder on 75 northbound at Sashaba. On southbound 75, just after Baldwin, another disabled semi that's blocking your right shoulder. 96 eastbound at Beck Road, accident has your left shoulder blocked, and that's causing slow traffic from Wixom Road. And you're tapping the brakes on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Mount Elliott. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up? Diggity dog.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock, my guest, Stephen Henderson, the editorial page editor from the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal. Stephen, let's switch topics for just a moment and talk a little fiscal cliff negotiations. I did find it, by the way, quite interesting. After the Republicans have talked so much about understanding diversity and having to appeal to a greater electoral demographic and constituency, every single member, every single chairman of every single committee is going to be filled by a white man. So they've really gotten that message, Stephen.
That's right. They really learned from what happened, and they're expanding, right? You've got to wonder how long that's going to take for that to soak in a way that inspires positive change rather than the negative, right?
I was trying to think of a cliche that fits, and none of them do. Insanity is the word that fits, but. We are hearing, and I had this conversation with the audience yesterday, Stephen. We are hearing more positive conversation coming from both sides. The word compromise and the word cooperation. But, when are we going to see that actually come to some action that will begin to take some flesh so we can figure out really where everyone's at?
Yeah, well, I think we're pretty close to that, actually. I think both sides now realize that there is no reasonable way to deal with this without some sort of compromise, and now it's a question of the details, right? When the Republicans, who I think have been the more intransigent in terms of what they say they believe in and what they won't do, when they say though that okay, we'll consider revenue as part of any sort of package to avoid this cliff, what does that mean? They still have this problem with the idea of raising tax rates because so many of them signed this pledge to Grover Norquist saying that they wouldn't do that. In some ways, this becomes an internal negotiation inside the GOP to determine what can they agree to with the president and not feel as if they have violated this oath that they signed, and that we can talk about some other time how crazy it is that any elected official signs an oath to somebody else. I think that's one of the real off the rails aspects of the GOP right now. But they've got to do that without phase. They got to do this without feeling like they completely violated their promises, and that's going to be tough. Maybe there's something that the Democrats can come up with that helps them in that regard. But I think at this point it really is about the GOP itself and how they come to terms with a little bit of an about face after the election.
And again, just another minute or two before I want to get to some more positive stuff. But is there a possibility? I'm just asking: is there a possibility that a year from now, 6 months from now, Grover Norquist is nothing but an interesting memory?
Oh, I think so. I think he's done in terms of the handcuffs that he's tried to place on elected officials. And again, this idea that you'd swear an oath to somebody else, when you take public office, you swear an oath to the Constitution and to defend it. The idea that you'd say, well, I'll also be faithful to this person who is essentially a special interest. Imagine if you had Democratic representatives signing oaths to unions. Imagine the kind of criticism you'd hear from the right about that. And of course, you'd never see something that silly. I think it's equally crazy that the GOP did this with Grover Norquist. So I think he's. And I think people are starting to see that, and that's one of the reasons that they lost as badly as they did. I don't think we'll see that going on anymore. He will continue to play a role because they they do believe in lower taxes, and that's okay, but believing in it to the point where you absolutely can never, ever raise taxes for any reason is not good governance.
And is not, and has not been for a while, and you bring up a very important point with the oath of office you take, and oftentimes, and it's just my fervent belief, that oath of office is in conflict with the signing of that pledge. But
absolutely it is. Absolutely. And the fact that they've been allowed to get away with that, I think, for as long as they have, is a problem, too.
Well, let's talk about some good news. The Detroit Historical Museum reopened, and as we learned late yesterday, the Detroit Science Center will be opening soon. Stephen, this is really good news.
Yeah, no, this is great news. I mean, that sort of hub of the cultural center took a couple hits, earlier this year when the Science Center closed, and when its future was in doubt, and then when the Historical Museum said that they were renovating, I think nobody quite knew what would come out the other end, and I think there's no question, that what the Historical Museum has done really makes it a much higher caliber cultural institution. And they're gonna do something with their admission too, so that they'll match with the DIA, which of course now has the millage, and a lot of money going through there. Getting the Science Center back open, though, sort of anchors that east side of the cultural district, where, you know, you're sort of worried that we have a big empty building there, if nothing else. But the idea that we're so close to having that reopen and probably reopen in a different and more, I think, educationally focused way is huge. I mean, it really is all starting to come together over there in a way that's going to matter for the city.
You know, it's interesting. We had a call earlier this morning from a gentleman named Maurice in Detroit, and we were having a conversation about the mayor and the city council and all the troubles and he actually said the simplest thing, but it made so much sense to me, Stephen. There's really good stuff going on. Can't they see that if they can find a way to work together, that we can expand what's happening instead of chase people away? And I don't know that we're chasing people away, but that potential exists.
Yeah, I mean, the potential exists for our governance problems to sort of overshadow at some point the private and nonprofit momentum in the city, and that's always, I think, one of our big concerns is that that we won't get our act together quick enough to take advantage of all this. But I think you're seeing a critical mass of the private and nonprofit investment start to really pay off in the city, and at some point that becomes its own, you know, its own entity, is not as threatened by government, but we still got to concentrate on trying to make government a partner in all of that instead of this sort of sideshow that everybody snickers about and worries that they'll screw it up.
Do not fear, folks, and do not run away. It will get better. Stephen, thanks so much. We'll look forward to next Wednesday.
Absolutely.
We'll Stephen Henderson, once again, the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal, seen Sundays on PBS. All right, a quick break. Lori Lamoran with Planned Parenthood of Mid and South Michigan joins us on the other side. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
Checking your traffic, and we have another disabled semi. It's blocking your right shoulder on 75 southbound just after Baldwin, with stop-and-go traffic from Ortonville. 75 northbound at Sashaba, still watching that overturned tanker that's blocking your right lane. 75 southbound before 696, accidents blocking the left lane, slow traffic from 14 miles. And on 75 southbound just after 12 mile, another accident that's blocking your right shoulder.
That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
At Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet, you can turn Thursday night into family night. Every Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m., kids eat for just 99 cents with the purchase of an adult meal. Enjoy fun activities for all at family night. Only at Old Country Buffet and Fire Mountain Buffet.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today is going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Ooh boy, the startling revelation that American Airlines has had some of its passenger seats come loose during flights gives new meaning to the phrase, flying by the seat of your pants. But that's what the top bosses of this once proud airline have been doing for months as they continue to downsize its skilled workforce, outsource essential jobs, and generally demoralize the people who make an airline successful. Having plunged the corporation into bankruptcy last year, the geniuses in America's executive suite decided that the way to fix the airline's financial mess and restore public confidence in its service was to force more cuts on the employees who provide the services. Thus, in February, it was decreed that maintenance crews in Fort Worth and Tulsa would be slashed and more than a third of their jobs would be outsourced. Tom Horton, American's genius-in-chief, blithely declared that airplanes, quote, can be maintained in Asia or Latin America, anywhere. True, but not necessarily well-maintained. In September, when the seats started coming loose, the brass callously drove company morale further down by implying that American's maintenance crews, who are members of the Transport Workers Union, were the culprits. But TWU fired right back, pointing out that maintenance of two lines of 757s, including seats, had been outsourced to a non-union, low-wage corporation where employees don't get expert union training or regular on-site reviews by federal safety inspectors. This is Jim Hightower saying, as a frequent flyer on American, I have a personal interest in this fight. I want CEO Horton to come to his senses and recognize that he can't climb out of bankruptcy by stepping on the line employees he has to count on to make the flying experience pleasant and safe. Cut the corporate hierarchy, Mr. Horton, not the people we customers actually trust to deliver a good product.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I believe we can keep the promise of our founding. The idea that if you're willing to work hard, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from or what you look like or where you love. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or Native American or young or old or rich or poor, able, disabled, gay or straight. You can make it here in America.
On 1310 WDTW.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595.
You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back. 35 minutes after 8 o'clock. And, yep, it's that time. It's Wednesday at 8:35, and that means Planned Parenthood. So, gentlemen, an introduction, please.
Their reach matters.
And in a year where the most basic truths and access to help is as critical as it has ever been.
Many people in the news are talking about a war on women, and others are denying it.
First Shift is proud to welcome to our airwaves an organization who continues to be the center of empowerment and honesty.
But certainly any objective look at the kinds of policies, etc., that some of the states are putting forward and being endorsed by the Republican candidate certainly would suggest that we don't think women are an important part of society.
And as they continue to provide services that save lives and provide a path to sanity,
First Shift proudly brings you the gift of Planned Parenthood.
And joining us now is Lori Lamoran, the board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan. And Lori, happy holidays to you. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
You too, Tony. I hope you had a good turkey day.
I did, very much so. Got some time off and enjoyed that, but here we are back at it and for all the right reasons. And we've got an important piece to look at today, a study to look at today that I am very, very curious to get into. It's called the Turnaway Study. And, Lori, what would be a good way to describe this study?
Well, I think, first of all, Tony, I want to highlight that I believe this study is overdue, as do other experts. And the Turnaway Study took a look at patients who wanted an abortion and were denied the opportunity to do that because, in most cases, they were too far along in the gestation for their state's limits. So, you know, in an age when we often hear about the damage that abortion does by people who think abortion is wrong, what we're learning from this study that was done out of the University of California, San Francisco, is a longitudinal study of a relatively small number of women, about 1,000 women, and 182 of them were turned away. And what we found is that they did much more poorly economically and in their social and health statistical lives than the women who went through with a pregnancy termination. So interesting stuff.
Well, and we're going to talk in a moment about the study results, and there's some really fascinating information in that. This is coming strictly from me, and whether Lori agrees or disagrees with me, I'll let her respond to on her own. But let me just say this one more time. I truly believe that a woman has a right to decide, that choose whichever way she wants to, what to do with her body. There are a variety of reasons, but I have yet ever to talk to a woman that has had an abortion, and yes, I've talked to many of them, that have turned to me and said, it was the best day of my life. Folks, I don't think those of you who are quote-unquote pro-life have any idea the harm you cause people that need to make this difficult choice by unfairly judging them. That's all I want to say. So, Lori, let's move on. Sorry, I had to get that out. Just had to get that out. What did this study tell us? I mean, let's get into some real numbers, because I think it's I've seen them, of course, but you know, this is quite illuminating.
Well, the results were very interesting, and we should first say that the 1,000 women, or just under 1,000 women who were involved in the study, and at the time that they were asking for the abortion, there was very little difference in their financial well-being between the women who eventually had the abortion and women who were denied. So at that time, about 45% of them were receiving some level of public assistance. Two-thirds had households that were somewhere below the federal poverty line. The average household size was 3.7, and 60% of them were already moms. So this notion that it is not people who understand the value of motherhood who choose to end a pregnancy, and you're exactly right, Tony. I've been working offering pregnancy care in some form or another for 27 years, and I have yet to see a patient who's excited about the prospect each and every time. It's a very, very difficult choice, and they often are brought to that choice by the realities of their family life and their knowledge that they simply can't provide a good, solid home for yet another child. Many of them already have children. So as a cohort, they were all very similar. A year later, 86% of the women who were denied having an abortion, and like I said, most of the time that was because they were over the gestational limit for their state, most of them were living with the baby. 86% were living with the baby. 11 had made an adoption plan. 76% of the women who were denied abortion were more likely to be receiving public assistance compared to 44% of those who did have an abortion. So the ones that did have an abortion, about 1% no longer received public assistance compared to before, but 76% of those who did not were receiving public assistance.
And Lori, hold on. Before we move on, let me make a point here, because the same people that are saying that we should make abortion illegal are the same people that don't want to provide funding, state assistance or federal assistance to families that need it. You can't have it both ways, Lori.
That's always been my feeling, Tony. If I have a frustration, you know, I honor people that have strong religious beliefs, and I would certainly defend their right to talk about them. The place where I have often been frustrated is there's rhetoric out there that says, you know, some pro-life, in quotes, people only care about fetuses and not so much about babies. And I think that has been demonstrated over and over again, that people are who are radically against a woman's right to make a decision about ending a pregnancy often do not support programs that are going to help them once they are in this very difficult economic circumstance. I mean, if the statistics of these 1,000 women are that they were of average or a little below income as it was. And when you add a pregnancy that they were maybe not planning and had chosen to not continue, but then were not able to choose to have an abortion, their circumstances got increasingly worse.
What?
So I think that's the thing that this study proves, is that women come to the choice of abortion in a very difficult manner when they aren't able to effectuate that. Their life circumstances and those of their family get worse.
And I'll point out again, no one has ever heard me, Lori. I'm sure you've never criticized a woman that chose to have a baby through an unwanted or a difficult pregnancy. You know, the door needs to swing both ways, but there are, as you're articulating, there are so many reasons that go into that decision, and these numbers, clearly demonstrate, and we'll continue to work through them, but they clearly demonstrate that there is a significant, a profound financial impact on those families, and it does affect us all, because if there is state aid involved, well, you know, that's our tax dollars. I get that, but we can't ignore the big picture. Anyway, I'll let you go on.
Well, I think the other very significant thing, and we often tried to make this point during the election cycle when people were calling abortion nothing but a social issue, and what we know is that it was absolutely an economic issue. And again, this study proves that 67% of the women who were denied an abortion had a household income below the federal poverty guideline, rather, and compared to the 56% of those who received an abortion. And 48% of the women who were denied abortion were working full-time 1 year later, compared to 58% of those who received an abortion. So it definitely has an outcome that has a profoundly economic disadvantage. And the study did not go into great depth around what were the health ramifications for women, both mental health and physical health. You're right, Tony. Abortion is a highly, highly charged emotional decision, and no one comes to it lightly. And at Planned Parenthood, we certainly never advocate that women have an abortion over continuing a pregnancy. That's precisely not what we believe. What we believe is that women ought to be able to choose which is better for their family. But we do know medically that having an abortion, especially in the early stages of pregnancy, is significantly less risky than carrying a pregnancy to term and delivering a baby. Again, that's not to say that we think that's wrong or bad, but I think people have it in their mind that having a pregnancy termination is highly risky for your health, and in fact, it's much less risky than continuing a pregnancy and having a delivery.
All right.
And so many of the women that had the baby also had other kinds of complications.
And you know, again, that brings up another facet to this. You know, there may be a very specific physical reason why a woman shouldn't carry a baby to term. You know, and I want to address the religious aspect, because I realize that if your objection to abortion is religion-based, that there's no, I'm not trying to convince people to embrace abortion. That's not what I'm trying to do here. That wasn't the point of getting into this informational and educational partnership with Planned Parenthood. It was really to educate, and I think we've done a fabulous job of doing that. I think it was, you know, my intent was to educate the greater audience as to all of the things that we've talked about since March, and how layered and complicated this can be. There's nothing easy about what we dialogue about on this show, but I find it fascinating. But the same people that are anti and anti and anti this and anti and anti and anti that are also anti, you know, birth control and anti giving women greater access two options to avoid getting into this situation to begin with, Lori. I find it unfathomable that there are people that think they can have it every way they want it, and this is just one of those issues where that's not possible. Lori, stay where you're at. Unfortunately, we're up against the break. I'll let you comment on that when we continue. I am Tony Trupiano. She is Lori Lamoran. She is the board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. But we are up against the break, so let's take it here. First Shift continues right after this.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose. You time howls being sung by a choir.
Hi, this is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299. I want to wish everybody on First Shift Radio a joyous and happy holiday and a happy new year. Look forward to 2013.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. My guest once again, Lori Lamoran, the board chair of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Michigan. We're talking about something called a turnaround study that was done by the University of California, San Francisco. Just under 1,000 women were tracked. Those that were denied abortion, those that weren't, the economic impact of that, and more than just the economic impact, the reality of what's happened to them since. And, Lori, this is certainly a study I would like to see expanded because there's some amazing information that comes out of this. Going back to before the break, again, those that want it all on this issue, there just isn't any such thing as a compromise here, is there?
Sorry?
Oh, yes. There's just
oh, there you go.
That's all right. There's no such thing as a compromise here, is there?
Uh, Well, I'm not sure, but it, to my way of thinking, Tony, the compromise, the middle ground in all of this is to prevent unintended pregnancy to start with. You know, we should all be embarrassed. I've said this before, that in the U.S., 53%, more than half of the pregnancies that occur, were not intended, meaning that the couples involved were not intentionally trying to make a pregnancy happen. Now, that does not mean that all of them end in abortion or that they're not wanted eventually. A lot of us are the products of unintended pregnancies. But it's wrong, in my opinion, that we should have that level. And that's really where Planned Parenthood comes in. You know, 97% of what we do is about making sure that pregnancies do occur when they are wanted and when women intend them, because we know statistically that those pregnancies end in better outcomes throughout the pregnancy, at the time of birth, and the long-term outcomes for the children and the family.
Yeah, but
so
see,
that's what we are all about.
Yeah, but this, see, that triggers the logic gene in my head where I say, okay, Lori Lamrand, if what you just said is true, and I know it to be true, then why would your foes oppose what you do? Because you're trying to actually do exactly what you want them to do.
Well, I can't answer that question. You'd have to have somebody that doesn't really understand the core of what we do and understand that not having abortion available doesn't make outcomes better. That's what we've proven with this study. And I should say, Tony, that these women were relatively low income to begin with, so they didn't have the opportunity to go somewhere else and have the abortion where they would have been able to, in spite of the fact that they were a little further along than what their state said. So, you know, women with money would have just traveled to another place that would have allowed the abortion. Women who don't have those resources can't, and then they get thrown deeper into poverty with less likelihood of being employed, more problems for their children, their existing children, et cetera, et cetera. And the, you know, the snowball starts at the top of the hill and just gets much, much larger as it rolls down. And that's precisely what we want people to understand, and we need more data like this one, that the data that this study brings out that says denying women abortion has consequences, significant consequences. And I agree with you. I think that it's inappropriate for people on the outside of a woman's life to try to make it sound much more simple than it is. People's lives are highly, highly complicated, Tony. Holy crow. And I think we just don't appreciate exactly what the consequences can be when women are denied the ability to manage things the best way they can.
Well, there's no question we certainly agree on that. You know, and I want to remind people that in this study, 60% of the women were already mothers. It's not like they didn't know what they were getting into. In fact, that was maybe one of the reasons why they were making the choice they were making. And Lori, you just again said it perfectly. We even other women don't know what other women are exactly going through. Let's just be very careful how we judge.
I think that's right. And I think it's also very notable that 2009, which is the last year that we have figures, the abortion rate fell by 5%. And that's the biggest decline we've ever had in a decade. And certainly many states are attempting to or have already passed really draconian restrictions on abortion. The decline happened before most of those laws were put into place. So it's not because those laws were put into place. I think part of it is that Planned Parenthood and others who provide birth control services for women who maybe need additional assistance, et cetera, are being successful in ensuring that the abortion rate and the unintended pregnancy rate possibly actually goes down. And I think that's what we all hope for.
Well, let's bring this closer to home. In the state of Michigan, 62%, listen to this, folks, 62% of the births from unintended pregnancies are publicly funded, costing Michigan taxpayers $282 million annually. Now, listen, all I'm saying is let's expand what Planned Parenthood does. Let's keep up the education efforts. Let's start when they're young and they are most impressionable, where this information will do the most good. Let's not fight what Planned Parenthood does. Let's enhance what they do.
Well, I hope the Ohio legislature is listening to you, Tony, because I think, you know, we all know that they're in that fight right now to defund Planned Parenthood. And again, I can only say every time we talk about this that any effort to defund Planned Parenthood, in quotes, really is about defunding the hundreds of thousands of women who are served with that, with that funding and that care to ensure that pregnancies only happen when they are intended by the couple that are involved. And that is what ends up happening. And then you have these economic disasters. You can't have one without the other. The point you made earlier, Tony, is spot on. You can't deny women abortion and then give them no assistance to help them with the dire economic circumstances that that decision-making throws them into. And we just have to understand that this is complicated. And if you give women the tools to be able to manage things, they will do it appropriately and on behalf of good decision-making for them and their family.
Well, clearly, we need to do a better job at making sure that, Lori, we haven't even talked about the psychological aspect of this, and maybe we shouldn't. Maybe that's not fair because they don't talk about psychology in these studies, and I get that. I know women that have had abortions. I know what the psychological effect is. People are not celebrating this. I mean, what do the foes not get about this? This is a very, very hard decision that has lasting impact on people.
Absolutely. But I think, Tony, there are those of us that know very intimately that having a child is not necessarily a psychological cakewalk either. And certainly while the psychological effects may be difficult to trend and to really quantify, we can tell you what happened to these women physically. And the outcomes, the health outcomes for women who had a baby were much, much more dire than the women who had abortions. Again, that's not to say that women shouldn't have babies, but we also shouldn't buy the rhetoric that abortion is dangerous for a woman's health. That is simply not true.
Well, let me just point this out one more time. 97% of the services that Planned Parenthood provides are preventive health care, including annual exams, affordable birth control. Without Planned Parenthood, many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of families would be facing economic disaster, putting, especially here in Michigan, children at further risk of poverty. And this is one way to break that cycle. Lori, we're just out of time for today, but we'll look forward to visiting next Wednesday.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you highlighting this.
Absolutely appreciate your leadership, as always. Lori Lamoran, once again, Planned Parenthood. Okay, quick break for the top of the hour. Marygrove College, and we continue a very good story.
On Hollis Avenue at dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog in the park, I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Look at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. I said I was dealing with a man and a beard, and a bag full of money, 12 o'clock at night. So I turned my head a second, and the man was gone. But he wasn't dropping his wallet back dead on the lawn.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, and we have another disabled semi. It's blocking your right shoulder on 75 southbound just after Baldwin, with stop-and-go traffic from Ortonville. 75 northbound at Sashaba, still watching an overturned tanker that's blocking your right lane. 75 southbound before 696, accident is blocking the left lane, slow traffic from 14 mile. And on 75 southbound just after 12 mile, another accident that's blocking your right shoulder. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 39. Tonight, a low of 28. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 45. And it's currently 30 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Truppiano, now on for...